Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. Sorry to hear there's some off sick. May the Lord heal them and bless them and bring them back again amongst us very soon. We're turning to Hebrews 11, and we're going just to read verses 17 through to 19. Hebrews 11, verse 17 through to 19. Open your ears wide and listen, and open your eyes wide and watch. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure, or as a type. We trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word and our study of these three verses today. Of these three verses, I might say immediately that we come to one of the most wonderful examples of faith in the Bible. What Abraham did here reveals, puts on display his faith in God. We also have a picture here of the cross and its meaning. We have a picture of Christ suffering for us, presented to us in these few verses. Let's start with this simple truth. The Lord here was testing Abraham. He was testing Abraham. You will notice in verse 17 it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried. When he was tried. That word tried simply means he was put to the test. Now you know all about tests. You have them in school every so often. What you know, what you've been taking in, how well you have been listening, is tested. And there's a little exam takes place. And you're put on trial. You're tested. Well, God here puts on trial, puts to the test, the faith of Abraham. This word tried in verse 17 is often translated by the English word tempted. Now, when we think of tempted or temptation, we think of an effort made to have us sin. But of course, the word doesn't always carry that implication. And we ever need to bear in mind what James said. I'll read out to you verse 13 of James chapter 1. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted of evil, neither tempteth he any man. That is, he never tempts any man to do wrong, to do evil. The Lord never would suggest to us or set before us sin. But he does often put us on trial. He often tests us to see what our reaction is and to test whether or not there is in our hearts genuine faith, genuine trust in him. In John chapter 6 and the verse 5, I think it is, we read these words, John chapter 6, the verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. So he asked Philip here, where are we going to get bread for all these people? Now he knew where he was going to get bread. He knew the miracle that he was going to perform. But he was testing Philip to see what Philip would do. And of course, poor old Philip, all he could think of was, we'd have to go to a shop, and I don't know if we would have nearly enough money to buy enough bread for all these people. So he revealed what his thoughts were. It didn't occur to Philip, well, Lord, you're the Lord, and you're able to provide for all these people. No, he didn't come up with that answer, and so he sort of failed the test, didn't he? The Lord does test us then, and he's here testing Abraham. He's here testing Abraham. And boys and girls, I want to tell you, God will often test you as well. He wants to see by our works whether or not we're genuine. Going back to that wee illustration I gave you of the test in the class, the teacher may say to you in the class, did you learn your geography? Or your maths? Or your English? Or your history? Did you learn it? Oh yes, oh yes. But that's not enough. It's easy to say, oh yes. But what will really tell the truth is when the teacher puts a test before you and says, right, answer the questions. Oh. Then the teacher will know whether or not you really did study and take in the lessons. God is not, could we say, satisfied with us merely saying, yes, Lord, I believe you. Yes, Lord, I trust you. And then he'll test us. And then he'll test us. And he's testing Abraham here. And I want to tell you, it was a very, very severe test. He was required by God to take his son, his only son, to a place at Mount Moriah and offer him up as a sacrifice. That was a severe test on what God had promised and what God had said to Abraham. Did he really believe what God had said? Well, the second thing I want us to notice is that Abraham passed the test, and he passed it most wonderfully. If I might mark Abraham's test, I would have to say he got 100%. He got it entirely right. We are given the thoughts of Abraham here in the verses we read. As God said to him, take your only begotten son and go to Mount Moriah and offer him up as a sacrifice. We're permitted to see what thoughts arose in Abraham's mind and heart and what it was that made him do what he did. Let's read carefully again. Verse 17, by faith. Now here's what was at work. As Abraham is faced with this test, faith begins to work. His response to what God said was dominated, dictated to by faith. He believed God. And therefore, in the light of the fact that he believed God, he did what he did. Look at what it says. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting. You know what the word accounting means. Well, we could put in the word believe. He accounted. He considered. He reckoned. He understood. He believed that God was able to raise him, that's Isaac, up, even from the dead. That was the thinking of Abraham. He says, God has told me to sacrifice my son. He's my only son. He's the son that God said, through him I'm going to raise up a multitude of descendants to you. Abraham, you'll have grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-great-grandchildren and on and on and on until there's millions, like the stars in the sky. So many will be the descendants that I'll give to you through Isaac. And Abraham said, now if God has said that I'm to take the one who is to be the fountainhead of all my descendants and offer him up as a sacrifice and kill him, then that must mean, if I do that, that God will raise him up from the dead. Because God has promised to give to me an innumerable number of descendants through Isaac. You see his thinking? That's what it means then. Accounting that God was able to raise him up. That was his thinking. As he went to Mount Moriah to slay his son, he was thinking, well, even if I do that, God is able to raise him up from the dead. So that he is the one through whom God will fulfill the promises that he has made. Now, let's learn. When we are tempted, then we should, like Abraham, when we're faced with a decision, when we're faced with a difficulty, we should, like Abraham, go back to God's word. Go back to God's word. That's what Abraham did. He didn't resort to his own thoughts. He didn't say, but he's my only son, I can't do this. What would my wife say if I did that? No, he didn't think like that. He went back to God's word. What does God's word have to say about this? God's word says that Isaac's going to be the source of numerous descendants. Therefore, irrespective of how it would appear that by killing Isaac, I would destroy all hopes of having descendants, I'm going to lean on God's word. God has made the promise there will be descendants. And irrespective of how my killing of him may seem to stop that, I'm going to trust God's word. Boys and girls, we ought to follow the example of Abraham and trust God's word whenever we run into a problem. God has said, that's the way it'll be. He believed, you see, that God had made Isaac the very center of his purpose and his plan. God had a great plan. He was going to create a great nation for himself, the nation of Israel. And God's plan relied upon him making Isaac the one through whom this nation would come into existence. And Abraham thought of that. And therefore, if God has asked me to kill Isaac, somehow or other, God will still keep his word and make Isaac the source of this great nation that is to be born. And although I can't see how it can happen, I'm trusting God that even if I kill Isaac, God is able to raise him from the dead and so make him the beginnings of his chosen people. Trust God, boys and girls, no matter how difficult the situation may be. God is able to work it out. The disciples, you see, when the Savior told them, when I go to Jerusalem, they're going to arrest me and they're going to crucify me. But that's the end of all our hopes. We thought you were the Messiah. But they're going to kill you, you say. Well then, where's our hopes? They staggered at what the Lord Jesus was telling them. And I have a notion that as soon as he said they're going to kill me, they stopped listening because he went on to say, but on the third day I'll rise again. They didn't seem to hear that. And when the third day came, after the Lord was slain on the cross, they weren't expecting him to rise from the dead. The devout ladies, they were the only ones came to see. And even they, when they came, were astounded to discover he was alive. And when they ran with the report to tell the disciples, they laughed at them virtually. They didn't believe them. That wasn't the case with Abraham. When God said, I'm going to make Isaac the source of a great nation, Abraham believed that. And even if God says you have to kill him and offer him as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah, he didn't stop believing God. He said God still is going to be able to raise up Isaac and make him the source of a mighty nation. He believed that when God said Isaac's the one through whom I will make a mighty nation, he believed that. No matter what now he was faced with, God would keep his promise. He believed that the Lord could raise up Isaac from the dead. You know, as a general principle, the world doesn't believe in resurrection. You remember when Paul was on Mars Hill preaching at Athens? He was listened to as he began to speak until he came to the truth that Christ had been raised from the dead. And then they got the laugh at the idea of somebody rising from the dead. The world doesn't believe. The world believes you just are thrown in a hole when you're buried and that's the end of you. You turn to dust, that's the end of you. But the Christian doesn't believe that. The Christian believes what God says, that there will be a resurrection, not only of the Christians, but there'll be a resurrection of the unbelievers. Sinners will come and stand before God when God calls them forth from the grave. So Abraham believed that God could raise up Isaac from the dead. Despite what him killing Isaac would seem to do, God would still keep his promise. Oh, boys and girls, you cling to the promise of God. You believe God no matter how difficult it may appear to be that he could ever keep his promise. I want to notice with you finally that Abraham absolutely surrendered to God's will. There was no ifs or buts or maybes or hesitations in his actions. He did exactly as God required. And the proof of Abraham's absolute surrender to God's will is seen in a wee word in our verse. Look at what it says. We'll read from verse 17 again. Boys and girls, it is reading and rereading and rereading again God's Word that we learn what is in it. So, read verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. You might say, and I could say, but he didn't offer up Isaac. You remember what happened? When he came to Mount Moriah and had tied Isaac on the altar, and he took a knife and was about to kill him at God's command, God stopped him. So why then does it say here, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac? He didn't offer him up. Ah, but he did in his heart and mind. When God said, take Isaac and offer him up, Abraham said, yes, Lord. And in the mind and the heart of Abraham, Isaac was offered. Do you understand? Do you understand? It's like you. The teacher says to you, I want you to go and get me. And she named something. And you hop up and off you go. And if you're heading off, the teacher says, oh, no, wait a minute, it's all right. I don't need it. And you come back. Now, you didn't actually go and get the thing the teacher was asking, but in your mind, you had decided, yes, I'll get it, and off you went. You weren't heading off saying, will I really get it? Maybe I won't, I'll not bother. No, there was no question like that in your mind. You were set on getting the thing the teacher requested you to get. That was settled. No argument about it. Well, likewise with Abraham, it was settled. When God commanded it, as far as Abraham was concerned, Isaac was dead. That shows the complete surrender that there was in the heart and life of Abraham. Oh, boys and girls, never hold back on God. Never hold back on God. Surrender. Like Abraham, in your heart, come to a decision that what God asked, you will do. In Genesis chapter 22, you have the story that is here touched upon by Paul, in Hebrews 11, Genesis 22, the verses 9 and 10 read, and they came to the place that Isaac and Abraham, which God had told them of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. No hesitation. There was not a shadow of disobedience. He was going to do what God asked him to do. His surrender to God's will, his obedience of God's command was absolute and complete. I close with stating that this whole incident is a picture of Calvary. God is forever teaching us what Calvary entailed, what Calvary was all about. God wants you, boys and girls, to understand what happened at Calvary. And to do that, he gives us pictures. Oh, we all like pictures. We all like pictures. Up in our house, we have a wee store of picture books. And we have visitors come. Wee visitors, and they like to get these books out and look again at the pictures. They enjoy the picture. We all enjoy pictures. We all enjoy pictures, and God gives us pictures. And here's a picture. What happened at Mount Moriah is a wonderful picture whereby we may fully understand what took place at the cross. First of all, Isaac was condemned by God to die. God said to Abraham, offer up Isaac. He was condemned to die. And that's the way it is with you and with me. And of course the reason we're condemned to die is because of our sins. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And coming short of the glory of God, and having sinned, we're subject to God's wrath, and God's condemnation, and God's judgment. The wages of sin is death. So, as Isaac walked with his father on that journey to Mount Moriah, the shadow of death hung over him. The condemnation hung over him. And there's a picture of you and me as sinners condemned by God to die. Did you remember what happened? Yes. Abraham took the knife and was about to kill his son when an angel said, stop, don't do it. God has seen that you are ready to obey him. And Abraham looked around and lo, there was a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. And boys and girls, God has provided a lamb to die in our place. John the Baptist, at the beginning, of the Savior's ministry had the wonderful privilege of informing Israel of who he was. John pointed to the Lord Jesus and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God." God had provided a ram in the place of Isaac, and God has provided a lamb to die in our place, to die in our place. And in Genesis, the chapter 22 and the verse 13, we're told that the ram was caught in a thicket by its horns. What a picture of the Lord Jesus, because we know that before they crucified him, they wove a crown of thorns, just a ring of thorny branches, and they put it on his head. Just like the picture here in Genesis 22, the Lord Jesus was the lamb caught in a thicket of thorns who would take our place under the judgment of God. And the place where all this happened in Genesis chapter 22, the place where God directed Abraham to offer up a son, was Mount Moriah. You can still visit Mount Moriah. You go to Jerusalem. One of the central places in Jerusalem is the Temple Mount, a hill in the center of the city. At the moment, there's an old Muslim mosque on it, but that's where Solomon built his temple. And it's commonly believed that's Mount Moriah, where Abraham offered up the lamb instead of his son Isaac. And on Mount Moriah, in Solomon's temple, that constantly happened, the picture of the lamb dying for sinners. Boys and girls, God wants you to understand how Jesus died for us. Never forget that. Never forget that. Old Abraham has given us an example, a picture of that event. Listen to Abraham and follow his example today. Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, we can but commend to thee the words uttered, I uttered in weakness, Lord. But be pleased, O God, to take these words and bless them to the hearts of the boys and girls and bring forth fruit unto righteousness. Any who are not saved, may they see today, may their eyes be open today to see how Jesus the Lamb died for sinners, took the place of the one condemned. O God, bless our school. You know its needs. We commit it afresh to thee, Lord. And those little ones who are sick today, be with them and bless them. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.